Tonight, we're going to be talking about this vision that we have that there is one mind and how that applies to praying about the election, all the stuff that's going on in the world right now, because there are some serious issues, as you know, and we're kind of in the midst of them. Before we actually get into it, I would like you to think about just one issue that you're really concerned about, something you might be afraid of, something you're worried about with the upcoming election. You can either write it down on a notepad or you can put it in the chat. Just something that you feel like maybe something you've been praying about, but something that is troubling you or is bothering you or you feel like it's an important issue. Just take a moment to think about that and write it down either on a piece of paper or in the chat. And we're going to come back to that in just a little bit with some healing ideas. I want to share an experience I had, oh, many years ago. I was in Washington, D.C., and I walked into the Museum of Natural History there on the mall. I was by myself, and I walked in, and I don't know what's in the lobby there now, but at the time, there were all these dinosaur fossils, huge skeletons, all kinds of displays. I was totally fascinated. I had all afternoon and I started looking at every single exhibit. I read every single word on every single display card, and it was just fascinating. And there was a little path I followed and learned all this stuff. And now you may be wondering, what does this have to do with praying about the political situation? Now, I'll get to that, so bear with me. But eventually, the path I took led me to more modern-day animals, comparing them to ancient ones. There were actually mummies of people, and they were comparing prehistoric man to current-day man, and everything was just a bunch of bones. All of a sudden, I was so overwhelmed. I was kind of starting to melt down, and it sounds kind of silly, but if you've just been looking at a bunch of dead bones for 2 or 3 hours, it suddenly just kind of hit me how materialistic everything was. And I reached out to God in desperation. I said, God, what do you think about all this? And he said to me, that's not the way I made them. And I laughed so hard out loud that really totally freed me from any sense of burden or anything. The problem is, I got so absorbed in the material evidence, the material picture, all the things, the way they were explaining things. I was just absorbed in it. I was unaware of anything else going on around me. In fact, it kind of reminded me of the story in Ezekiel, where Ezekiel sees all the dry bones in the field of dead bones, and God tells him to prophesy to the bones, and he does, and they're restored to life. Now, whether that literally happened or it was a metaphor, I don't personally know. I wasn't there, but it is a powerful message, and that's kind of what I started thinking about all these bones, and the thought came to me, these bones are going to live again. And I had this vision of all these little animals coming to life. I was not hoping the dinosaurs came to life, but all these little birds and things flying around and running around in these glass cases trying to get out. And again, I just laughed out loud. This sense of God being life was really, really powerful. Now, how does this apply to what we're here to really talk about? Have you ever been so absorbed in what's going on in the political situation right now? You pay great attention to every little detail that every little news reporter, every new survey that comes out, and you're checking to see if your person is going to win or if they're ahead in the polls, or you want the scoop on the other party, or you want the good news for your side, and you get so absorbed on the surface of the situation, and you kind of lose track of even human reality. This is really what's going on with a lot of people today. It's almost hypnotic. In fact, I had a friend couple of presidential elections ago who got so addicted to the news, especially the news of the person they didn't want to vote for, it made them physically ill. They couldn't walk. It crippled them, literally and figuratively. As we were praying about it, she realized she had to get a more spiritual perspective. And as she did that, she kind of broke free of that addiction, I'll call it, and she was healed. Part of the solution, if not the whole solution really, is to get a more spiritual perspective of what's going on and to, well, to bring healing to our own lives. And that helps spiritualize the whole atmosphere. It may seem like it doesn't, but every little bit of spiritual progress and growth that you and I experience helps to leaven thought and helps to raise the level of consciousness. The point is, we all need a more spiritual perspective of what is going on, because the human perspective, we're probably way too familiar with that. That will never heal. I have Christian friends on both sides of the political divide. Some of my Christian friends say that, well, if you're really Christian, you can only vote Republican. And I have other Christian friends who say the exact opposite. Well, if you're really a follower of Jesus, you can only vote Democrat. And they're very judgmental of the other side because they're not really seeing the other point of view.
They're just seeing things from their own perspective.
Well, what's going on here? Both sides are completely in disagreement with the other on so many things. Which one is right? And how do we even solve that problem? How do we bring healing to this sense of divisiveness? Well, the first thing I think we all need is a big slice of humble pie. Sometimes we need to eat two or three pieces of humble pie, because our human opinions, our human attitudes and preconceptions and perspectives, however well-informed they are or how well-informed we think they are, our human perspective will not heal, because that's like trying to solve the problem on the same level of the problem, and you just can't do that. It doesn't work. So let's come back to this idea of our perspective, our spiritual perspective. Actually, there's not a whole lot of difference between different opposing human perspectives compared to a spiritual perspective. And let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Let's pretend like you and I are sitting across the table from each other. And in the middle of the table are the salt and the pepper. Now, I'm not sure how the camera reverses the image, but in my little room here, if this is the salt, it's on my left and the pepper is on my right. But if you're sitting across the table from me, the salt is on the right and the pepper is on the left. Which one is right? Are you right or am I right? It obviously depends on what perspective, what angle we're looking at the very same thing from. That's the point. Differing political perspectives are looking at, well, not always, but often at the same situation. They can hear the same political speech and they hear and see and think it said something the exact opposite of what the other people do. So we're not trying to figure out which human perspective is right. That's what a lot of people spend their time on and arguing for what they think is right. But as Christian scientists, we are called to go up higher than that. We have more spiritual resources to pray about this in a completely different way. Jesus did not try to heal. Jesus did not heal by trying to sort out and reconcile differing human opinions. He healed with clear spiritual vision. He never accepted the material picture of what was going on. And that's really our purpose today, is to dig into how Jesus was thinking. I like to call it his mindset. What was Jesus's mindset? we want to get a better idea of how we can think and pray and heal like he did. Now, that's not a new idea to any of you, to think and pray like Jesus. That's what we're striving for in everything we do, every time we pray for something. That's our motive. And that's what Jesus wanted us to do. He wanted us to think and pray and like he did. And Paul said in different places on several different occasions, the one I'm going to quote tonight is from 1 Corinthians, we have the mind of Christ. I think it's really fascinating and totally true that it's in the present tense. He doesn't say we will have the mind of Christ at some point in the future. I mean, we will, but it's not just that. It's the present tense right now. That's a powerful promise and a declaration of what is true. And so that means that we can think and pray and love exactly like Jesus did. Again, this is not a new idea, but we need to use this mind of Christ when we look at things and think about things and act more than when we're using the human mind. And we all need to work on that. Well, I'll speak for myself at least. I'm assuming that we all need to, but I certainly know I need to remember to think and pray with the mind of Christ as opposed to just my little human mind. I call it the human gerbil wheel up here, spinning around, goes and goes. It doesn't always get anywhere. So let's talk about a few aspects of the mind of Christ, this mindset of Jesus. How is he thinking about things? This is going to bring healing to whatever we're thinking about, but in this specific situation, it's the political scene in our country, and really any national or international problem or situation or challenge that comes up. So, as far as the mindset of Jesus goes, did he focus on problems or solutions? Did he focus on lack or abundance? Did he focus on everything that was going on in the material world? Or was his focus on the kingdom of heaven and what's going on there? Well, you obviously know the answer. Jesus saw things more spiritually than anyone around him. He always saw what was true spiritually, what was true in heaven. He could see what was going on here on earth, but he also had that spiritual vision that he could see what was true spiritually. One of the key aspects of Jesus' mindset is in John chapter 7, verse 24. He says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And that's from the King James. I love the New Living Translation. It says, look beneath the surface so you can judge correctly. And that makes me think of where Mary Baker Eddy writes in Science and Health, Jesus of Nazareth was the most scientific man that ever trod the globe. He plunged beneath the material surface of things and found the spiritual cause. That's the only way that healing is going to truly come to this political situation in our country right now, or anything else going on in this country or the world. We have to plunge beneath the material surface of things and see what's going on spiritually. That was Jesus's modus operandi all the time. He never accepted the material picture of what was going on. He didn't try to solve a problem on the same level as the problem. He went so much deeper because he looked deeper. He could see deeper. This really gives us a hint on how we can pray about any situation. Just think about how you are engaged with or are responding to all the political information out there on the news and your friends talking and everything. Are you absorbed in the material surface picture of what's going on? Kind of like I was in the museum. It can be hypnotic. It can be oppressive. I mean, it's important to be informed, but we don't need every tiny little detail all day long. Or are we looking from a deeper spiritual perspective? Another aspect of Jesus's mindset is, and I think this is probably the most important part or factor of how Jesus thought, his ministry, how he went about his day-to-day life. And that's the fact that the kingdom of heaven is at hand and within us. That's how he started his ministry. Whenever he sent someone out to preach, he said, tell them about the kingdom of heaven. The more I've thought about this idea that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that was really the perspective that he looked at the world from. Kind of like, you know, across the table looking at the salt and pepper. He looked at everything going on here on earth from the perspective of what is true in heaven. And so he saw things very differently than the everyday person on the street. And that's really how he healed. And I'll give you an example. And, you know, as I'm sharing this healing, and you're very familiar with it, fill in the blank with a political situation. Remember the story of blind Bartimaeus? He was blind, sitting by the wayside, and Jesus is walking by, and he hears it, finds out at Jesus, he calls out, and the crowd says, oh, don't bother him. Well, Jesus says, come on over. And Bartimaeus goes to Jesus, and Jesus says, what would you like for me to do? And he says, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus says, according to your faith. And he was healed. Well, what was going on a spiritual level? Because from earth's perspective, you had somebody who was blind. Jesus talked to them, prayed for him, and he was healed. But from the perspective of what is true in heaven, we see something a little differently. Is there any blindness in heaven? Of course not. Jesus could see what was true about that man in the kingdom of heaven, which he knew was at hand. He saw in the kingdom of heaven, Bartimaeus isn't blind. He was so clear on that. It was like flipping on a light switch. And that spiritual truth, that spiritual light, was so bright that to everyone there standing around, they said, oh my gosh, Bartimaeus is healed. That's what happened from earth's perspective. But from heaven's perspective, in heaven, nothing changed. Bartimaeus never had been blind in heaven. That's the way we pray every time we say the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done in earth as it already is in heaven. We're praying to see what's true in heaven and have that be obvious here on earth. So let's take that idea and come back to some of the things you might have been thinking about that you've been praying about. I'm looking here in the chat. One is misinformation, or I'll call it fake news. Fear of retribution, that's a big one too. How about one of the ones I was thinking, a couple of things I was thinking about is, well, if the other party wins, our country is lost. Both sides are saying that. The hypocrisy among certain politicians, et cetera, et cetera. So let's just look at these a little closer. Well, as I said, both the Democrats and the Republicans think the other side is the problem. Kind of like they both think the salt and pepper's on one side or the other. They're seeing it from their perspective. But let's look through the lens that Jesus did, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and see what things look like. It's not looking at the surface political scene from earth's perspective. What is true in the kingdom of heaven? Is there any misinformation or fake news in the kingdom of heaven? No. Is there any fear of retribution? No, there's no fear of any kind in heaven. What about, is there political divisiveness or political parties or there's not even politics of any kind in the kingdom of heaven? There are no differing human opinions and perspectives in heaven. There are no power struggles. All the things that seem so loud in our ears and in the media, none of those things are true, cannot enter heaven. They don't exist there. The more that you can see that, that's really a prayer, a powerful prayer of affirmation. So what is going on in heaven right now? Well, instead of divisiveness, there's harmony and unity. There's love and respect. They're not divided political parties, we're all there together. And there's no deception, there's no fake news, there's only truth. And as far as the government goes, there's only God's government. And everyone loves God's government. There are no complaints or disagreements about how God is governing. No one is treated unfairly or inequitably. And everyone obeys God's laws. And you could make a list of many more things. What is true in heaven right now? What is going on in heaven right now? Reversing all these things that seem to be going on here on earth. That's what we want to focus on. That's seeing things from God's perspective. That is a very powerful healing prayer. I've got a question. You don't have to answer it out loud, but just think about it. Everybody I've talked to is pretty concerned about the election, whether they're a Republican or a Democrat. I've got friends on both sides of the aisle. Some of them are praying earnestly for their candidate to win. Have you ever prayed, or are you praying for your candidates to win? Well, people in the other party are doing that as well. I'm just really curious, you know, how can God answer those prayers literally the way we all want him to answer in different things, so, you know, self-competing requests? The problem here, of course, is that's a prayer of human will. It's really not a prayer at all. It's just telling God what you want. That really doesn't have the power to heal anything. I remember a time when Mrs. Eddy was facing a lawsuit, and it was a pretty serious situation, and she told the people who she asked to pray about it, don't pray for a particular outcome, just pray to know that God is in control. She wasn't trying to manipulate the situation by putting what she, I'm sure in her heart, she knew what she felt was right and what she thought was the right answer, but she didn't pray for that. She instructed her helpers to pray for God to be in control of the situation. And I think that's a really good model for us. Jesus said, not just in the Garden of Gethsemane, that he only did God's will. And he obviously wants us to follow his example. He said in John 5:30, I carry out the will of the one who sent me, not my own will. That's kind of hard to do sometimes, but you know what? Because we have the mind of Christ, we can do it. You can do it. I can do it. We can all do it. And when we do it collectively, it's even more powerful. Our prayers are even more powerful. You may still feel like, but yeah, my candidate really is the right one to win. It is God's will for my candidate to win. And of course, as I said, and you probably know people on different sides of the aisle that feel that same way. How can we test that? Well, here's my little litmus test, and it's not answering the question on the same level as the question. My question is, well, does your candidate win an election in heaven? No, there are no elections in heaven. And you may be thinking, yeah, but wait, we've got an election coming up in 2 weeks. I know that. But if you're going to pray about it, we have to pray from a spiritual perspective. Actually, we are all God's elect. He has chosen each one of us and every one of his children to be his highest representative. There are no offices of greater or lesser importance in heaven. We are all equal in God's sight. Catch that vision. It changes the way we see what's going on here on earth. As I said, trying to solve a problem on the level of the problem never brings healing. You're kind of like on a teeter-totter going back and forth. You never get anywhere. You're just going up and down. I don't know that anyone in this group is absolutely infuriated. I have some friends who are worried. They're sleepless at night. They're really fretting about all this. They're concerned about it. They're worried for the future. of the country. They're worried about their children and their grandchildren. What kind of world are we giving them? And, you know, humanly speaking, those are really valid concerns. But again, we have to go a little higher and a little deeper to really find a healing perspective and some peace of mind, even. Again, I don't know what your media consumption approach is, but if you're someone who has been glued to the news and reads every little thing and talks with all your friends about it, I would suggest, this is my human advice, and you can take it or leave it, but I would suggest that you cut some of that out. It's right to be informed, as I said earlier, but make a little more space for a spiritual approach. Be quiet and ask God what is true in heaven right now, kind of like I did in the museum. Ask God what he sees. What does he think about what's going on? Think about it. In heaven, no one can deceive or be deceived or think someone else is deceived. And because heaven is not often the future, that's true right now. What is going on in heaven right now? We talked a little bit about that. Jesus brings this idea right to the forefront of healing. He says in John 5:19, "Very truly I tell you, the Son," referring to himself, "the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." So the real question here is, what can you and I see God doing? Is he helping your candidate win? I don't really think so, because the Bible says God is no respecter of persons. You know, when we personalize our prayers, it clouds our vision. Mrs. Eddy says in Miscellaneous Writings, to impersonalize scientifically the material sense of existence rather than cling to personality is the lesson of today. And so I would invite you to translate things into thoughts, situations, and people into motives, into qualities and attributes. That helps you see more clearly, regardless of party or personality or politician. It helps you see principle. It helps you see what's going on spiritually. So here's a question for you. What is true about the two presidential candidates right now in heaven? How does God see them in heaven right now? Now, I know a few people who think one or both of them should be in hell right now. But that's not the way God sees things. That will never bring any healing. And if you feel that way, I don't think any of you do, but if someone feels that way, they're not seeing that individual the way God sees them. God sees all his children as perfect. Think about how Jesus would see them. How would Jesus see all the candidates? How would Jesus see all the voters? Well, Mrs. Eddy has answered that question, and this is one of my favorite quotations of hers, and I'm sure it's probably one of yours. We quote it all the time in reference to healing, but now think about this in relationship to politicians, government officials, voters that we completely disagree with, that we have a different perspective from. Let's just fill in the blank with all those people. This is from page 476, starting 476 on Science and Health. When speaking of God's children, not the children of men, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is within you." That is, truth and love reign in the real man, showing that man in God's image is unfallen and eternal. Jesus beheld in science the perfect man, who appeared to him where sinning mortal man appears to mortals. In this perfect man, the Savior saw God's own likeness, and this correct view of man healed the sick. Thus, Jesus taught that the kingdom of God is intact, universal, and that man is pure and holy. Can you plug in all the candidates that you're voting for, all the candidates you're not voting for, all the voters on both sides of the aisle, or all the stray voters that haven't decided yet? Can you see them all in that true light of what's true in heaven? Jesus did not ignore the mistakes and sins of people. He saw through them. He didn't excuse them. He saw through them to their original identity as a child of God, made in God's image and likeness. And the result of that is healing. Because if you excuse sin, it doesn't heal, it grows worse. And you can ask yourself this question often. I have to ask myself this several times a day. What is true about all these political candidates in the kingdom of heaven right now? And think about other world leaders and other events going on and the people that are involved in those. Think about it. What is true about them right now in heaven? Well, in heaven, the two presidential candidates love each other. They both agree with the way God is running the government. There's no animosity. They know they're not in control, and they don't want to be. They don't even know whether they were Democrat or Republican. Think about that. In heaven, that's just a human label that doesn't get in. There are no Democrats or Republicans in the kingdom of heaven. That's a human label. Paul points this out in Galatians. He says, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And we could add, they're neither Democrat nor Republican, conservative or liberal. Those are all human perspectives, human opinions that don't come into heaven. One of the very first lessons I learned in Christian Science when I got interested in it when I was in high school was the fact there's only one mind. And that was kind of a new idea to me. I mean, I understood the concept of one God, but then when you realize God is mind, there's only one mind, that's an amazing concept for me to sort of grasp. But it is probably one of the most crucial ideas for us to understand anytime we're praying about any situation, but especially in relation to the political situation going on right now. Do you really believe, are you convinced that this is true in the political arena, that there's only one mind? Can you see that this is true for all politicians and all voters? Mrs. Eddy challenges us when she says it should be thoroughly understood that all men have one mind, one God and Father, one life, truth, and love. Boy, one truth, that takes care of the fake news, doesn't it? It's not human truth. It's not some human perspective. It's God's truth. She says, the result of this will be that mankind will become perfect in proportion as this fact becomes apparent. War will cease and the true brotherhood of man will be established, having no other gods, turning to no other but the one perfect mind to guide him. Man is the likeness of God, pure and eternal, having that mind which was also in Christ. Now, this again is not a new idea. You've probably been praying with this already in relation to the political situation, but I love the word in here, in proportion. Mankind will become perfect in proportion as this fact becomes apparent. Every time you get a clearer sense, there's only one mind, and can see that that's what's true in this political scene. That is raising the level of consciousness for all mankind spiritually, and that brings healing. Now, we have to work this sometimes. It's hard sometimes because we have to give up our human opinions and our human perspectives, and we really have to quit thinking and praying with the human mind. Sometimes we can take a spiritual idea and we use the human mind to think about it and meditate about it and try to figure things out and ponder it. But that's not what brings the healing. We have to think and pray with the mind, which was also in Christ. if you're holding on to your human opinions and perspectives, you will never see, or certainly not clearly, you will not see what is going on in heaven. You won't be able to hear God telling you what He is doing and what He's seeing. Now, we're not trying to see perfect mortals or be a perfect mortal. There's no such thing. Mrs. Eddy kind of puts a perspective on the tumult that's going on right now, this upheaval in politics and so many different areas of life. She really says it has to do with her book, Science and Health. And in referring to Science and Health, she says in Pulpit and Press that it is the leaven fermenting religion. It is palpably working in the sermons, Sunday schools, and literature of our and other lands. This spiritual chemicalization is the upheaval produced when truth is neutralizing error and impurities are passing off. When we can have this higher perspective that what is going on in this tumultuous political season is actually spiritual chemicalization because the truth is neutralizing error and impurities are being forced to the surface, no kidding, and being washed away. The muddy riverbed is being stirred and all the muck and mire is coming up and we think, oh my gosh, it's terrible, it's terrible. But actually, it's part of the healing process. The leaven of truth, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost is at work purifying, bringing from undercover where it was hiding all the errors that mortal mind believes. And it appears to us as an upheaval. She goes on in this passage from Pulpit and Press. She says that this spiritual chemicalization, this upheaval, will continue till the antithesis of Christianity, engendering the limited forms of a national or tyrannical religion, yields to the church established by the Nazarene prophet and maintained on the spiritual foundation of Christ's healing. That phrase, Christian nationalism, gets thrown around, and some people think it's great and some people think it's not. Mrs. Eddy makes a comment there about national or tyrannical religion as the antithesis of the church that Jesus established based on healing. Mrs. Eddy was actually asked one time, what are your politics? And she said, I have none in reality other than to help support a righteous government, to love God supremely and my neighbor as myself. Now, I used to think she meant she was supporting the most righteous form of human government, but the more I think about it, I think she was referring to the government that's on the shoulders of Christ. You know, that verse in Isaiah that says, the government shall be upon his shoulders. She was supporting God's righteous government. Have you ever thought about how Jesus would respond to all these political situations today? Would he go to Washington, D.C. and make a speech in Congress? Do you think he would meet with opposing political opponents to try to get them to agree on things? Or would he maybe hold a political rally and campaign for one candidate over another? I don't think so. Jesus never got involved in the politics of his times. He never made it a priority to resolve conflicts with the government of Rome, with all its intrigues and powerful personalities. He never tried to resolve the disputes between the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Zealots, and the Essenes. He made it clear, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. We need to focus more on the kingdom Jesus came to show us. That was when he was talking to Pilate. He also says, the reason I came into the world is to bear witness to the truth. Jesus was here to bear witness to the truth that the kingdom of heaven is at hand and that there's only one God, and we would add one mind. The way he made his impact was directly to the human heart, usually on an individual basis. He didn't get his followers to work on getting tax policy changed. He didn't do that himself. He reached out to tax collectors, and he shone the light of the kingdom of heaven on them. that transformed the tax collectors. Think of Matthew and Zacchaeus. It wasn't a government policy that changed them or healed them or solved their problems. It was the light of Christ, the love of Christ. And if you want to be like Jesus and pray like Jesus and heal like Jesus, you have to think like Jesus. And that's our goal, isn't it? Paul said it. We have the mind of Christ. That means we can see what's true in the kingdom of heaven right this moment. And as Jesus said, he could only do what he sees the Father do. Because you have the mind of Christ, you can see what God is doing, and you can follow what God is doing. And so let's come back to this idea a little bit. What does God do? What is God doing? That's really the ultimate question, because that's what we want to see. That's what we want to focus on. And here again is a favorite quote. It's in the lesson a lot. We use it all the time. Mrs. Eddy says, "One infinite God, good, unifies men and nations." God is doing these things right now. The question is, can we see him doing it? Not just intellectually imagining it, but can we actually, spiritually see him right now doing these things? One infinite God, good, unifies men and nations, constitutes the brotherhood of man, ends wars, fulfills the scripture, love thy neighbor as thyself, annihilates pagan and Christian idolatry, whatever is wrong in social, civil, criminal, political, and religious codes, equalizes the sexes, annuls the curse on man, and leaves nothing that can sin, suffer, be punished, or destroyed. If you ever get frustrated or angry or fearful about what's going on politically, or if you have friends that are doing that, ask God, "God, what do you see? What do you think about all this?" And you may just hear, in whatever way, what I heard in the museum, something like, "Well, that's not the way I made them." I've been asking God that question a lot lately, and I just have this vision of, instead of all these opinions, there's just light, there's just love. That's how God sees everyone involved. I encourage you to focus on what God is doing. Focus on what God is seeing. And the more clearly you see what he is doing and seeing in heaven, actually, the more of heaven we'll see here on earth. So keep bearing witness to what's true in heaven, no matter what the material circumstances are, whether your political people and party win or lose. Keep your vision on God and his government. Make sure God is governing you and not your fear, not your human joy because your side won. God is the one that's governing you. This idea that there's one mind, Mrs. Eddy says, is an incredibly powerful healing presence in the whole world. She told one of her classes, "We today in this classroom are enough to convert the world if we are of one mind." She doesn't say because, she said if. Humanly, it's an if. "For then the whole world will feel the influence of this mind, as when the earth was without form, and mind spake, and form appeared." I'm going to paraphrase this for what we're doing right here tonight. We tonight in this webinar are enough to convert the world if we are of one mind. I used to think converting the world meant I have to go out to all the world and talk to everybody. No, we do it in our consciousness. Because if you can really see, when and because you can really see there is one mind, and because you do see, because we all see and know that there is only one mind, we're converting our own belief in more than one mind. And so we can see everyone in the whole world with one mind. And that is going to bring healing. It's bringing healing every moment when we are aware of that. And in closing, I'm just going to reemphasize this point that you and I, each one of us, has the mind of Christ. It's the only mind you have. It's the only mind all the candidates have. That's the only thing that's true in heaven. And you and I understand and see this clearly. Every time you watch the news, ask God, God, what do you think about this? What is true about these people and these situations in the kingdom of heaven? Listen for his answer. Focus on what he tells you. And keep bearing witness to what's true in the kingdom of heaven. Thank you very much. I really appreciate you being here. And if you have any comments or questions, I would love to hear that. If you want to unmute yourself, you can do that, or you can type a question in the chat, whatever works for you. Or if you know how to punch the little raise your hand symbol down in the reaction area, you can do that too and raise your hand with the little icon.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Rob in Arden Hills.
Hello.
Thank you for your comments, James.
Oh, you're welcome, Rob.
Just a couple of things. We're a bit naive to think that this particular election is unique in its conflict. Think of in Lincoln's time, they were calling him everything from an old monkey to the worst things you can think of, and the press was responsible for it. And that brings me to the point that the press fosters division. They love division. They love conflict. They despise harmony so much. That's why we need the monitor.
Isn't that true? That's a really good point, and the monitor even gets criticized sometimes. But
yeah,
so here again,
but just let me finish your.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
My ear is getting fat. Lincoln had this going for him. On his desk, he had a copy of the Constitution, the local statutes, a Bible, and the works of Shakespeare. That's where he got his information that he needed to get through the day and get through these challenges that he had. And I would recommend at this time that folks check out a book by Anne Eisenhower. This is Ike Eisenhower's granddaughter, and it's a book on leadership. It's one of the best I've read because it focuses on how Ike handled things and other good leaders handled things when conflict was at its worst. But it's a book by Anne Eisenhower, and it's available in the libraries. But it's just a terrific read.
And
just this last comment, Jesus said, well, neither Jesus nor Mrs. Eddy had politics, but Jesus said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, and unto God that which is God. So we have to know how to separate things, go about our business of the one mind. So that's all I have.
Thank you so much, Rob. That is so true. And I just want to add, so I will add to the list of people I said to see as perfect is the media. I didn't include them, so whoops. Darn it, they're included too in the one mind.
Oh yeah.
That's where we have to heal our belief that they have a mind separate from God, or that they don't love unity, because what is true about those media people in the kingdom of heaven?
Yep.
We've got to, if we really want to bring healing, we've got to keep that perspective live. So but I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm so grateful for the monitor.
Yeah, we've got the doctrine of separation of church and state, but what's difficult is to separate religion and politics. That's
well,
where our prayers
and
have to be.
And so I think, kind of based on some of the things I said, the real separation is the distinction between what's going on humanly and what's true in heaven. And that the more we can see that distinction and focus clearly on what's in heaven, I think it will bring healing to all these other situations. But you're right, we've got to make these clear distinctions. Thank you so much. Anybody else have a question or comment?
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
I'd just like to, this is Ted Kent.
Hi.
And I'm from Mountain. Terry and I are up north. We're the ones that are up in Two Harbors right now. But I think you were just right on in everything you said. And I have worked very hard to see that true. And when I do, I am relieved. And then I'll read something in the paper and I'll think, well, that person should never be the leader of the free world. And then so I go, I'm going back and forth, but thank you for your comments, because I need to be more consistent in God's kingdom right here on earth, and what that really represents as God's true idea of all mankind. as perfect and,
yes,
and as his image. So thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you for being here. Anybody else? A question or a concern, something maybe you're having trouble praying about? Hard to admit that with a group of Christian Scientists. We think we're all supposed to know exactly what to do. But.
Yes, I'd like to just say that I know it's the whole issue of the war and the genocide and everything, that's such cruelty is really quite something to rise above. I don't know if you have any comments about that angle.
You know, it's devastating. It's sad, beyond sad, what's going on in some of the wars that are taking place in the Middle East, as well as Ukraine and that sort of thing. There are lots of wars going on in families between parents and children. I mean, there's this belief of war, of it's really saying, what is war? It's saying there's more than one mind. You have something that I want, and I'm bigger and stronger than you, and I'm going to get it. I used to fight my little brother. You know, it was not right. And it was when I learned that I had to love him, that verse, if you say you love God and don't love your brother, literally, who you can see, and but you know, then you're a hypocrite. And I thought, oh, you're a liar. I thought, oh my gosh, I say I love God. So I think it challenges us. Jesus said we're supposed to love our enemies. That's hard to do. The only way we can really do that is to get into the kingdom of heaven. I think for me, that's been my solution, is to look out from heaven at heaven and what is going on in heaven. You can say that to some people, think, oh my gosh, that's so naive. So don't tell anybody what you're doing. Just do it. Just bear witness of what's true in heaven, and the healing will result. People thought Jesus was crazy too, but he healed people because he had that spiritual vision. So as far as the wars go, there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. It's his angels, but that's the old heaven. That's the first heaven and the first earth. Those disappeared. In the new heaven and new earth, there is no war. Nothing can defile or make a lie. There's no pain or sorrow or death or sin or anything. There's no war in the new heaven and new earth. Oh, that's it. New heaven or new earth. So can you really see that? Keep focusing on that. Because humanly, I don't know what the solution is to those situations. Fortunately, there are people trying to resolve that. I think the more we can bear witness to what is true spiritually. I mean, I've had a vision early on in the Israeli conflict. I thought, well, in heaven, all these people love each other. They go and say, hey, how are you doing? Good to see you. How's the family? That's what's true spiritually. And I don't mean to be silly about it, but, you know, the more we can catch that vision, it will help the people trying to resolve the situation, I think. Does that help?
Oh, absolutely. It's really, to me, it's sort of the basis of how everything, all the other issues get resolved when we can get this far.
Yeah. And well, and thinking about loving your enemies, I invite everyone here to, whoever you're voting for, love the other candidate as well. Love them. Look through whatever the disagreements are, you know, all the personality, blah, blah, blah. Love them the way Jesus would love them. You're loving what's true about them in the kingdom of heaven, beholding in science the perfect man. It's all the same thing. That will do more. It will, one, it will heal your heart. It will give you peace of mind, but it will also contribute to a greater good.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, Marjorie. Yes, Mary.
Okay. Thank you for the talk. I think some really good ideas there. And I was texting a friend who was also listening. She also felt that this talk should be shared more widely. So I wanted to just mention that you can hear a recording of this. If you wanted to share this with friends, you can hear a recording of this at the Minnesota webpage, and that is, Kelly, you may have to help me on this, but I believe it's christianscienceminnesota.com. Is that correct, Kelly?
Yes.
christianscienceminnesota.com is the state.
That's right. Thanks. Yeah, thanks, Alan. And I believe that's, I don't know when, James, that will be put on. I'm not sure, maybe in a day or two. But if you had anyone that wanted to hear this, it is, you can find it on the Minnesota Outreach page.
Yes, I am recording it right now, and I'll get that recording to Alan, and you all can do it however it's, you know, get it put up on your website.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a wonderful idea.
Thank you again for really easy to listen to with great ideas.
Good, thank you. I'm glad you were here, Mary. Jack, you've got your hand raised. If you'd like to unmute and share what you have. Are you there, Jack? You have to unmute yourself.
Okay,
here we go.
Okay, there we go. I was just thinking of a couple of things. There's so much that tries to mislead us, where one thing is said and somebody else says another thing, or someone just starts on their own and go off, you know, on a tangent, or they have some kind of motive behind what they say that to keep us confused. Keeping us confused also is one of the techniques to, you know, make us feel a little hopeless and helpless. But years ago, a gentleman here, Charles Ferris, I'm sure many of you remember him. He was a teacher and practitioner in Minneapolis. We were fortunate as kids to have him be our advisor for the Christian Science Monitor Youth Forum, and also advisor for the university, the organization at the university. He talked about how you distinguish the difference between the false and the true. If you want to identify something that is a counterfeit, what do you study? Do you study the counterfeit, or do you study the real, actual thing that you're supposed to be looking at? So if you're looking for a $100 bill, if you know what an actual $100 bill looks like, it's easy to be able to tell the difference and identify the baloney. Another way I heard it put was that if you think of the truth as an absolutely positively straight line, and you hold the straight line up against what you're hearing or what's being suggested, immediately anything that does not fit with that straight line identifies itself as being bogus. So I think the business of how we, you know, what basis we start from. You touched on it about starting from the ideas that come from God and guide us. But that business of, Terry, you probably remember Mr. Ferris talking about these kinds of things. But as students at the university, I think that rang a bell for so many of us that you need to start by studying what's true.
That's exactly right. And Jesus' approach was what is true in the kingdom of heaven. It's the same thing, really. You're right. If the more we focus on what we know is true in heaven, and, you know, neither political party is by any means perfect. I mean, even if you were totally objective, which is hard to do, you can find problems with any human being on earth. So that's not what we're trying to do. We're really trying to bear witness to the non-counterfeit, what's true in heaven, what's true about man, what's true about God.
Jan?
Yes?
No, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was talking to Terry. I said, and that's a giant leap upward in our thinking to do that.
Yeah.
You know, from the mortal to the spiritual.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
No, that's all right.
We have to be real careful about duplicity, to not be thinking, here we are in the morass and muddle of everything here, but somewhere else called the kingdom of heaven is another place And somehow a better us is there.
Yeah, that's a really good point. We don't have dual citizenship. We are citizens in the kingdom of heaven, first and foremost. And the more we can identify ourselves as such, it'll be easier to see others that way as well. Jesus said, you got to start with yourself. Get the log out of your own eye. Is there anything that you find in your thought that's judgmental or critical of the other side, or even your own side? Or maybe there's something in your own thought that needs to be dealt with. So we can do that, because it's not true about us either. Mm-hmm. What is true about you in the kingdom of heaven? Maybe that's the place to start. The thing that's true about you is you can see everyone else in the kingdom of heaven. You mm-hmm. have that ability. Sometimes think, well, I'm just not spiritually minded enough. Other people can do that. I can't pray that way, because no, that's not what's true about you in heaven. You have the same mind that Jesus did. What if we all went out in this next 2 weeks and just healed somebody physically? If we're really bearing witness to the fact there's one mind and the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that's going to be like the wake in the lake. If you're even in a rowboat, there's a little bit of a wake. If you're in a motorboat, it's a bigger wake. If you're going through your daily life with this absolute awareness that there's only one mind, there would be a wake of healing. You may not even realize that it's happening. This is not just some intellectual process for when you're sitting in your prayer chair, when you're at the supermarket, when you're driving in traffic. How about you think, oh, everyone here has the same one mind that Jesus did. We can consciously bear witness to this. Anytime you're in a group, include them all, bless them all, acknowledge that they all have the mind that was in Christ Jesus. This is powerful. We can all do it. Anybody else, any other comments or questions or anything? We've kind of gone a little longer than we thought we might, but this has been very good. I've appreciated all your thoughts.
Thank you, James.
You're welcome. Thank you for being here, Diana.
Well, James, as a representative of the State Joint Outreach Committee, we sure appreciate your talk this evening. And we'll be passing this along to others.
Well, thank you, Alan. It's been a joy to be here, and I appreciate your presence, every one of you, and your questions, your thoughts. Most of all, I appreciate what you're going to do in the next 2 weeks and beyond, how you're going to bear witness of what's true in heaven. You won't be able to not do it. You won't be able to help yourself. You just can't help but see, oh, there's a perfect child of God. All right. Well, have a wonderful evening, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, James.
Good night.
Good night.